Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Mid-Flight Brawl, of course, is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal. Heaps Normal are bringing the pod to you, legends. They just won, didn't they, Heggy? Best known low beer for Australia at the World Beer Awards.
Absolutely. And even better, they just sent me a new hat and stubby cooler. Hat rides quite high on the skull, as is the trend at the moment I've seen out in the real world. Plus, I got some beers in the mail. I enjoyed that immensely.
Oh, how good.
And so too many for me. I hit a four-pack somewhere in the eastern suburbs, so fill your boots, everyone.
And I've been ordering slabs at a clip. Get on there, heapsnormal.com, use duty-free at checkout for free shipping around Australia. Our postie is a bit of a cunt, and he cracks the shits because it's all sort of on curb parking. Nobody's got driveways in my street, so everyone's up on the curb. And he wouldn't drop people's mail off for ages because he doesn't want to get off his bike. So now I just try and fill that big fucking yellow pouch at the front of his bike. I want it chock-a-block with Heaps Normal every time he has to come down my street.
Great. I mean, I wasn't home for mine. I assume it came in a van, but you're in Melbourne. That the postman has to deliver actual cartons of beer on a motorbike.
Brilliant. Yeah, they probably still do it on one of those, like rickshaw, and some cunt will be on a fucking penny farthing. It's Melbourne. You know how we operate down here. Forget it. Heapsnormal.com. Use duty free at checkout. And they'll give you free shipping all around Oz. And thanks for everyone who's been bloody getting stuck into them. We do appreciate it. And they are bloody, they're tasty. I'm having one right now.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees, and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
talking to me?
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. How you going down there, mate?
Man, you're just good. Fucking another day, another 30 cents.
Yeah.
Eat, sleep, repeat. Eat, sleep, watch a news conference, yell cunt at the TV screen, repeat.
Ah, eat, pray, sleep. Good for you.
What are you up to? How's Sydney?
That's sort of, light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it's in New South Wales. We've got like booting through vaccinations up here, obviously. We've got so much fucking Pfizer. We've been dumping it in the river. Hopefully some will make its way down the Murray-Darling Basin. You lot will get some fucking pipe down. Bet our things are unfair.
Some fucking kids on schoolies on a rope swing are going to come out in the river and just land on the fucking 15 Pfizer jabs.
Yeah.
Don't worry about logs underneath them. The brown surface.
we chuck syringes in there as well, preloaded, ready to go. So they'll be floating down soon enough and you'll get your fill. You'll open up after us, even though we started it.
Well, we did find out, unfortunately, the Great Australian Podcast Festival has been postponed. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. When's that then? That's going to be February. Or something along those lines, I believe.
It was meant to be November here in Melbourne, but I think we just had 400-odd cases today, and they shit the bed when there's three. So I can't see us being allowed to fill a little tent in the Palais Theatre car park just yet.
Yeah. It's coming, though. Like, it'll be, I don't know. By the time this comes out, it's probably
who knows?
1 or 2 days closer than we are now. So take it easy, everyone.
Well, so I've got to respect the positive, even though I do not like the Liberals, the positive can-do attitude of Gladys just trying to get down to a cheeky 1,100 a day. so you can open up again.
Oh, we're nearly there. It's plateaued at about 1,200.
I am trying to bet with our mate Bart Freebet what day now that it crosses that Victoria just overtakes New South Wales.
Yeah.
And soon, I reckon, probably by next Tuesday.
You people have to stop thumbing your fucking noses at us.
Let it rip.
How's your weekend, mate? What'd you do for September 11?
I sent Daniel Sloss a birthday message because I never forget. I never forget his birthday because it is September 11. What else did I do? Yeah, I watched a bit of Team America, got fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Yourself?
Oh, we didn't do much. I mean, the day itself is more for the kids. We give each other presents the night before, traditionally. Couldn't do too much this year. Party was called off, obviously.
A little box cutter figurine for the September 11 memorial tree.
Yeah, special limited edition Jenga packs in everyone's lolly bag.
And when you get up to for a swim that morning, you go, hey, kids, let's roll.
Yeah.
Everyone has a chuckle.
Oh, yeah. No, not much really this year. It's a bit of a washout. Anyway, back next year in full flight with any luck.
Nobody's really caring about it too much now, are they? It's a shame. Everyone forgot. For a thing that's never forget. I reckon by 30 years, who knows?
Big specials out on TV, though, 20-year things. People have been gearing up that for that for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So it shows how sort of how set in our ways. Like 20 years is a big one, not 21, not 20, 25 would be a big one, 25-year anniversary, that sort of thing. We're very OCD in our thought processes of what you celebrate when and how many years. Pretty good.
Celebrates also a bit of a stretch there when it comes to 9/11.
Some people are.
A group, a new political party have just they've gotten back in over in Afghanistan. I reckon they'd be pretty stoked.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I tell you what, you'd pick up some votes if you started a new political party and it was just called Never Forget. That'd be a good start. That would be good marketing.
Man, I do love the ones that when you go to vote and they're not even. Like it's out, you know, you've got Greens, Labor, Liberal, One Nation, United Australia Party, but then there's some Australian Sex Party, but beyond that, you go, what are they?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Just cashing in. It seems like a big cash grab.
You don't know what's in it for them. Like there's one, there's always one down the bottom. It's just like John Davidson or something. It's just some bloke chucked himself on there. Wheelbarrows and hunting or something. Like, what the fuck?
But surely there's money. You must, if you get on that thing, you must get a bit of coin. Or is it just a lunatic?
I think it's just to get on that A2 sheet of paper, blow it up, put it on the wall. You know, I once ran against Scott Morrison. Good for me. Makes you think, doesn't it? I'm an exclusively in advance voter too. You go up to the council chambers, you never have to line up. Just go up 2 weeks earlier. Hey, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. That's all the – nobody waits till the actual day. That's fucking crazy.
I think you find a lot of people do.
That's like going shopping on Christmas Eve. Waste of time.
Yeah. Sheeple. Do it on Boxing Day for the next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do this year on Christmas Day. Go, oh, fuck, got a runny nose. Sorry, guys, can't come to Christmas. Better get tested, keep everyone safe. And then just go and do all the shopping next day. Meet them at Boxing Day lunch.
For sure. I got a bloody really cheap tree once. I had to keep it alive for a year.
That's where they get you. Keeping it alive for another 364 days.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
You think you got a bargain.
And you experience some serious post-purchase dissonance on the 27th.
Shall we get stuck into the F?
Yes, let's do it. Yeah. We made it.
Oh, mate.
To episode 79. And
it's a big one.
A man, a hero of his times by the name of Leroy Hyland. Yes. And we're talking about October 9, 2018. And it's just a classic Paddy living in Sydney, Leroy, on a temporary work visa in Australia. Needs a break somehow. Bit of R&R from that. So He's
getting headlocked outside of Scruffy Murphy's and a
yeah.
plastic Guinness, dumped at Guinness pint yeah. coming across the nose. It's all a bit too much for old Leroy.
Yeah.
Put the feet
Crick
up.
Neck in the shore break at Coogee and then 10 pints a night at the CBH. Hard work. So he's what he's done, he's flown to LA to unwind by watching a fight, a live fight.
It wasn't any fight, though, and he didn't fly to LA. He flew to the home
yeah,
the
original
fights.
LA and then, yeah, went to
LV.
Las Vegas, obviously. Yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
But, that fight involved Russian ballet dancer Khabib Nuriev on October 6th.
Good try, yep.
And your best mate, mentor, and hero, of course.
Woo! The notorious Conor McGregor. It all started with, I don't know if you know, Heggy, this fight started, Khabib approached Conor's teammate, Artem Lobov, and open hand slapped him.
And, what, just on the, in a car park or something?
I forget where it was. It might have been backstage at another fight thing, and he's just open palm slapped him for talking shit about him. And McGregor saw the footage, was in Dublin. This Khabib was in New York with Artem. And McGregor has rounded up a group of his mates and they have hired a private jet, just
spur
of the moment, flew over and approached Khabib as he was on a bus at a venue. He was on a bus with other UFC fighters. This is what happened. That's McGregor. Oh, throwing a dolly at the bus.
Yeah.
That's McGregor yelling, smash the windows at the area at the end. He already did. He threw a dolly at the bus that had other UFC fighters on it. And what I love about that, say what you will, fuck, private jets must be nice because that's like a 7-hour flight, Dublin to New York, and he looks fresh.
Yeah.
You get I'd a good need a lie down that. After that. He's gone private jet, airport, straight to where the bus is and started throwing dollies. Hasn't even had a stretch. I reckon he may have had some other help. Not insinuating anything, but it looked like McGregor may have been under the influence of some other things.
Yeah, I think you're speaking from the experience of someone who sits in like crowded planes. If you're on the, my experience, if you're on the Lolita Express, for example, when you get to the other end, you feel quite good.
No need to have a
heaps
lie down
of energy
first.
From what I've seen. No. But, I thought he had a lie down and the rest.
The press conference, though, some good banter. This is where Conor McGregor is just drinking his own whiskey a few days before a fight.
I'm come here for smash this guy.
I don't
want to
smash me, mate.
Smash me. I can smash
you. Say me. Send location. Here he is, right here in front of you. I'm right in front of you.
I think it's gonna be a long night for him.
Right.
It's gonna be a long night.
Yes.
For him.
Oh Lord, save me that.
He knows this.
Just drinking his own whiskey.
At this stage,
at the event,
back pretty much 100% to his pikey roots of catching a plane somewhere to throw a trolley through a bus, then run around saying smash everyone. Still at least 2 calendar years away from not being your number one hero in the world.
Yeah,
or is he still? He's still up there.
Not a fan anymore. We'll have to do a Land Larrikins on him soon because he fell apart just this week. He was at the MTV VMAs in New York.
What's a VMA?
The Video Music Awards, and he threw.
Was he a rapper now?
No, he threw a cup of his whiskey at a rapper, a white one. Oh. He's not that confident with his fighting ability, but he's kicked off there. But at this press conference, it turns out it was Khabib's birthday. Khabib Nurmagomedov, devout Chechen Muslim.
You know,
it's showing the boss's birthday.
I'm not.
He calls him shit on the bus.
I'm not
understanding.
Proper 12
on me. Hang joy.
And when I go to the cage, I'm gonna go like my last fight.
Happy birthday,
like,
showing the boss.
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I never drink.
I'll tell you some booze at parties.
I never drink.
You're mad backwards cunt. You're dead when I get me hands on you. Do you hear me?
I never drink.
You're fucking dead.
So he handled that well. The Muslim bloke, weirdly enough, did not want proper 12 whiskey, and that has upset McGregor. But it all culminated in this, and I reckon this is where Leroy has come unstuck. McGregor, a lot of talk, but push comes to shove. Oh, no.
Nope, it's on the chin.
Oh.
There's the tap. Still undisputed.
Oh,
and
no,
now Khabib jumps the fence.
No.
Whoa.
No.
Khabib just choked out McGregor.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Then jumped into the crowd. And then Khabib's own teammates have started bashing Conor in the ring. It was bloody quite a day.
Was McGregor on the ground? They just gave him more of a touch-up.
No. He was up. Somebody hit him from behind. And McGregor actually defended got himself up, started fairly fighting well. You. Yeah. Oh, didn't right. win the first well, fight, got, the main one.
Yeah.
The second one,
the
he
actual
did pretty
fight.
Well.
He got fucking toweled up. Yeah. The method listed, from what I saw, is neck crank.
Yeah. It's when the arm's not quite across the throat for it to be considered a choke. So you're just trying to pop the head off. And as much pain as McGregor was in that day, not as much as when I got home to my beautiful wife and a one-week-old son, completely maggot, and tried to give him a bath. The rinsing down I got, I would have much rather have been Conor McGregor in that octagon.
Well, I don't know if your celebrations were exactly like Leroy's, but I saw a photo of Leroy, and he's one of those, I don't know, he's one of those clean-cut rugby-looking ones that you see from Ireland every now and then with the rosy cheeks. You know how that, you know, those boys have they've been out in the wind or something. I don't know. But he's still got that thick green blood full of booze pulsing through his fucking veins, though. Don't worry about that. Can't escape that. But he could nearly not be Irish. But then I copped a photo of him on the bow of a yacht in Sydney Harbour, dressed head to toe in white. And it was a bit windy. So his hair has just defaulted back to Irish. Like a, you know, those teenage boys who don't know what's that?
Do you mean just brushed forward, like a almost buzz
cut?
It
just goes back to its natural thing. Like, you know, those teenage boys who don't know what to do with a clump of hair, they've got that. A lot of Irish have that their whole life until they go bald / dead. So he's gone to the...
It is a race there in Ireland. What will get you first?
Oh,
the receding hairline or the Grim Reaper?
Well, there'd be more hair in Irish coffins, I reckon, than nearly, I haven't done the stats, but than nearly any other country. All their skeletons have a full head of hair. So he's gone to the cage fighting in LA, right? I know all sports will take anyone as a fan because cash is cash. But I love that working class sports attract such a lot of posh people now. Mm. Like, as a concept, cage fight, it's not that far removed from cockfighting. Like, the upper class is just jeering at the dirty little carny thugs baying for blood. You see, boxing's worse for this, but you see the upper class is paying top dollar for ringside seats so they can get blood spatter on their fur coats. Fucking, maybe they should leave the working classes alone and stick to dressage and fencing and polo and shit. A lot of the time, it's just rich people trying to claim they have an affinity with the very people that disgust them.
Mate, I think we may have mentioned this in an earlier ep, but I filmed that thing for a UFC that was in Melbourne at Marvel Stadium.
Is that where you're taking your dacks off? Did you have to get around your undies or something? What are you doing? No, that was strippers or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in Vegas. That was a thing for Virgin. No, this thing for the UFC, they gave us cage side seats. So I got to bring a few mates. And we're next to the CEO of AirAsia, and in front of me was Chris Hemsworth. And
I
was very well behaved earlier in the day. The first fight was at 9:30, and then by 10:30, I don't want to say what had changed.
Woo!
But I kept walking past, going, "Fucking get a Liam," because I just thought it'd be funny. And Chris not impressed.
He got you kicked off. Out.
The Thor, what? God of Thunder.
Was this 13 hours after the first fight?
No, this was.
No
this
wonder you're a bit under the weather.
Minutes after the first fight. It was about 10 fights on the card.
Right.
We got blind.
Oh, yeah. They're all over in about an hour.
Woo!
Only lasts about a minute each, don't they? Yeah.
No, it depends. There is something about hearing. Seeing the punch is one thing, but hearing a punch, it just reminds you to leave everyone alone. You don't know who is capable of putting one of those across your teeth.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. Hear that fighting pop. Sucks.
You go, ooh, no thanks.
Yeah, it hurts. Hurts a lot. And yet here we are organising more of it.
Every weekend. Thanks, UFC.
Must have been a brilliant few minutes over there to warrant a return trip to the City of Lights for Leroy.
Well, he lasted into the fourth round So that's 3 5-minute rounds. That's 15 minutes. Mm. And then he got a few minutes into that fourth. So I don't know. That's 18 minutes. I don't know what it takes for you to fly across the Pacific Ocean, but I reckon 18 minutes of high-quality entertainment, not including walkout, not including other fights.
Yeah. When you put it like that, yeah.
Vegas itself, pokies at the airport.
Cultural hotspot.
Mm. That's from the minute you land.
As fights go in the real world, though, I've never really seen one more than 20 seconds long. Like you just don't get that often.
Oh, in
if
real
they
life.
Get past that, in real life, yeah, there's chairs and weaponry.
Yeah.
Like in a fight with just two blokes, no way. 20 seconds will pull everyone up. That's it. It's done. It's not
just
the back
cardio
of the-
too. It's really hard to fight.
Oh, yeah. It's not pleasant. There's nothing nice about it. Not for this
I reckon some coward punch victims just exhausted. They've just fallen down, run out of steam.
Yeah. Hard found work, face down. Punch in the back of the head, knowing nothing about it. Yeah. Leroy, after this 18 minutes of joy, went on a bender for a few days afterwards, presumably to drown the sorrows. It's what they do best.
You know what? I reckon even if McGregor had won, same result.
Oh, yeah. Always is. That's the beauty of booze. It's got everything covered. All human emotions. It's got a foot in the door, doesn't it?
It's a draw. It was a
although
wedding.
I'm not one to jump
it
to.
Was a funeral. The fight was cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
There was an earthquake. Yeah,
for sure.
Answered. Every time. Same result.
Never forget. What am I forgetting? Put beers in the fridge.
Mr. Booze. Mr. Booze.
I'm not one to jump to conclusions, as you know, but maybe Leroy and his crew wanted to take in a bit of culture while they're there. Get out and see some of Las Vegas's famous museums, such as Madame Tussauds. Maybe he wanted to check out the cultural corridor, visit some famous artworks, conveniently all graffiti.
Hold on. You have missed the one of the biggest museums in the world, I assume.
Oh.
It's up there with the British Museum. Are you the four-floor mob museum?
Yeah.
With the courthouse where the courthouse is where they were actually tried. Yeah, I went there. Yeah, they've got the wall from the Valentine's Day Massacre. I had a look.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry for learning while holding a frozen margarita. Sorry for trying to better myself with a yard glass filled with hurricane.
Never too late to learn.
Probably pokies so, in there too.
Yeah.
Every third exhibit's just a more chilly.
Oh, yeah. So there's a museum where they open up the back of a more chilly and you get to learn about perpetual motion. Bring the kids in. Have a look at this. So it gets to October 9, right? Leroy's had his fill of culture.
Fucking oath. Yeah, he's been there for a bit.
Yeah, and he thinks, I'd better get back to Sydney. It is spring racing carnival after all, and there
he's
are some
up.
Racetrack. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. To go from drinking in Vegas to going back to drink it at the spring racing carnival, that's like the fucking Irish stayers that they send. It's like this pig's been running 2 miles in the mud every day and they send it out to Melbourne to win.
Yeah, for sure.
This guy is,
grubs.
He's got the practice.
Don't underestimate a mongrel. Some racetrack / cheap suit combo photos that need to be taken for Leroy's social media, of which there are plenty. Just down the road from my house, in fact, Royal Randwick. Randwick Racecourse, that's got to be easily the biggest attraction within walking distance of my joint. Never been there.
Really? They run the other way. It's like American toilets. I don't know what's going on.
That's not the reason I'm fucking not going down there.
Oh.
I wouldn't know. What do we do here clockwise? And you do anti.
Yeah.
Well, see, as a horse, you can't really run in New South Wales and Victoria unless you're diverse enough to run both ways.
Yeah, I wonder. Maybe that's what the blinkers are for. Don't worry. We'll guide
you. Build up one side of your body a bit more if you have to always turn the same way, a bit like sprinters
like a mountain goat.
Athletics. Yeah. One leg longer than the other. So anyway, Leroy. After watching your idol and mentor, Conor McGregor, in Las Vegas fighting, he's had a bit of a problem on the return leg. And unfortunately for us, it wasn't 3 hours in. No, this was five.
Yes. And I don't know if you remember that Mambo number five. When I first saw it, I thought the bloke was in his 60s. This dude's like a 20-odd-year-old German bloke.
Yeah. Look at him. Well,
I think it's the hat.
I didn't do any research. I just was so annoyed by it. And it's one of those things that I never consciously played, obviously, but I must have heard that 1,000 times somewhere or other.
Yeah.
Not even in a disco. I wasn't going to them, but it was just sport anywhere, sports bars, on TV. Everyone used it, and it just.
I know where you heard it, probably, because I just heard you on the Little Dum Dum Club last week, the comedy podcast, great podcast with our mate Osha Gunsberg, and he was talking about when he used to be at B105 in Brisbane, you'd go around in the fucking Black Thunder cars with him.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, if I needed a lift somewhere, yeah, for sure.
Never done that. Around. That's what you're always accusing me of. But even worse was that I heard he'd do overnights and you'd call in and together you two would do prank calls.
Yeah. Well, me just requesting songs because no one was on there. We'd wait until like 10 to 6 in the morning and have like a skit prepared. Like it wasn't exactly Guido Hats. It's not the Chinese restaurant stuff you currently do on your Melbourne
Never
radio
station. Never done a prank call in my life. I can't believe years I've copped shit off you. What are you going to do, a prank call in the fucking Black Thunder? And it turns out you've just only got those references from your own lived experience.
Man, if you were 18 and you had a mate who had a job and he had a Black Thunder at his disposable, you can't tell me you wouldn't be out hooning every weekend in that.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm saying I haven't and I didn't. And you have and did. That's what I'm saying. Two panel shows in 3 weeks and a fucking Black Thunder doing voices for a prank call. Wow.
Oh, I wasn't doing voices. Don't worry about that. Oh, man. No way.
Since lockdown, you've changed. I'm learning more and more information about you. It's probably going to come out you were Guido Hatzis. That's the ultimate.
Award-winning comedian Guido Hatzis.
For those that don't know, Guido Hatzis. Have I said on here before? I went to High Point Shopping Centre with my dad when I was in year 8 to get a Guido Hatzis CD off him at a meet and greet, probably at a Sanity. And he called my dad a Skippy Poof. So...
Makes you think, doesn't it? What did Jeff make of that? I can't remember. I probably asked you this.
I think he just thought, why the fuck am I at High Point on a Saturday? You probably do. Like, you know, I'm out with my son sometimes. Man. You just glaze over. Just let instinct take get you home.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. In the 80s, if I went down to somewhere to get an autograph with my dad, which wouldn't happen in the first place, but if it did for some reason...
He got called a skimpy poof.
He would ask me to wait in the fucking car. He'd be out in 5 minutes.
Not skimpy, skippy, skippy. Like Aussie.
Oh, skippy poof. All right, okay. Well, all the same. It's not the skippy part that would have warranted a punch in the fucking face, I don't think. Anyway, so Leroy, he's taken two of the sleeping pills he bought in America rather than the recommended one. Sleeping pill he was supposed to take. And this is an honest mistake. He'd run out of the regular ones on the trip, waiting until you're tired and then just falling asleep. That's for chumps like me, isn't it? That's gone. That's how fucking entitled humans have become. I want to go to sleep. You're tired? No. All right, we'll just take these, you know. You could just wait till you're tired, then go to sleep. Don't worry about it. Not now. Yeah, I want it now.
Leroy's been in Vegas. Just keep drinking, mate. Mm-hmm. What are you?
Should be ready for a sleep, to be honest.
You should be crawling onto that plane and dozing off until it lands in Australia.
Anyway, despite the shop assistant saying, look, these really will knock you out, you probably bought them from an ice skating rink or wherever the Constitution states you should be allowed to buy fucking medicine in the brave land.
I do love
looks
it
like
over
you
there.
Scammed, you though.
You go into a Walgreens or whatever, it's like, here's a pharmacy, and then there's more beer fridges than medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Am I at the pharmacy? Hey, where do I get my arthritis medication? It's next to that AR-15 rack. Okay. Yeah.
It's great. The cause and the cure, they're all there. There's bullets and Band-Aids on the same fucking shelf.
The one-stop shop.
Yeah. He did get scammed, though, because they didn't work. Like he took them and thought, oh, those two must have been faulty. So popped another two. And this time they fucking worked for sure. The tablet.
So he's had four. I mean,
he's had four. Unisom was the tablet. I had a sticky beak into this clinically proven sleep aid. And the first question that pops up on the internet is, can Unisom be taken every night? Answer, no. Moderate potential liver disease is a side effect, but it can be taken during pregnancy if you want. Many people say half a tablet is enough.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Half a tablet is enough. The mixed reviews are in.
Who are these people? They must not have been pregnant before. I've never been pregnant, but I've lived for a combined 18 months with a pregnant woman. And in the later stages of that, they're really up and about.
Nah,
for another marathon, are you, Dahl? Nah, it's fucking sleep time.
Many of them take it, and this is America, obviously. They take it for morning sickness because it's an antihistamine as well. So something in unison for everyone, it seems.
The one-stop tablet.
What's happened when Leroy took four or potentially eight, if you take the advice, times the recommended dose?
Can I guess? It's a bit weird that you've actually brought him up because he's had four sleeping tablets. So I assume he slept?
No. Not at all. It's had the reverse effect on a man of his stature. Doesn't work on the paddies. What he has done.
It's a challenge. It's an affront to his insides. I'm not fucking.
Well, you can cancel. It's the same with that still knock shit, isn't it? You can cancel it out with booze or something else, can't you? Just double negative.
Yeah, it's
and then see
what
happens.
It's called chemistry.
Yeah.
Am I a loose unit or am I doing experiments? It's up to you.
Oh, it's an experiment. It's like anesthetics. You don't know what's going to fucking happen.
By the way, I just saw, I don't know, you probably saw because the guy was French and you get their newspapers delivered to your house every day.
Yes.
You see that.
A baguette comes rolled up in the daily paper.
I saw a French soccer player this week or someone that used to play for France. They said he's died after being in a coma. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm on ESPN every day. I never saw this. Now, it turned out he'd been in a coma for 39 years.
Wow. That's the sort of treatment you can get. That's the sort of money you can make as a football player. Just keep your dead husband alive for 39 years. Pretty good.
That's like
a good run.
Sort of Schumacher situation.
I don't know. That must be 15 odd years now. Schumacher.
No, not that long. I think 8 or 9.
Yeah, right. Is he? Whatever, he's moved a finger or something, hasn't he? What happened?
I don't know. Blink twice.
He'll be back.
Blink twice for scratch my back or something. So it's still it's on.
What Leroy has done.
Be annoying. Yeah.
Annoying. I don't think you'd know much about it. You mean annoying for the wife?
No, but if he's blinking messages, I think my mum's mum got locked in, had one of those like 10 months where you could hear everything but you couldn't move.
Oh, yeah. Not on the operating table, you'd hope, like those stories you hear about people who get massive amounts of compensation saying I felt the whole thing.
Needed a few of those tablets, Leroy's tablets.
Fucking hell. I'll tell you what, learn Morse code, everyone, because it's get you out a bit of shit there. You're not just a yes-no blinker. You want to have more in your arsenal. Leroy, not so much. What he did was put a blanket over his head and walked up to the galley like an entry level Halloween ghost. And he's approached the flight attendants while carrying a black unidentified object and said that his phone, passport and wallet had been stolen. Classic, someone else's fault. So not many people putting their hand up for anything really, is there? But especially when they've lost stuff because they're off their fucking heads.
Mate, the one long-haul flight I took sober a few years ago, went to London, and it's the first time I've ever been sober on a long-haul flight. So I was very relaxed and I didn't quadruple check everything and walked off and realized, fuck, my Kindle's in the seat back. Turned around and immediately said, hey, my Kindle's on there. And they said, we'll send a cleaner to check. No, it's not there. I go, fuck, I must have dropped it out of the window at some point. Liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Some cleaner's kid has got a present that Christmas called Nick's first Kindle. It's very disheartening because I've got one, and when I open it up, it says Luke's second Kindle, and I'm reminded of every time that it fucking smashed the first one.
Fuck, you smashed the Kindle?
Well, not personally, but it got smashed, yes.
I thought you bought maybe a scratch and sniff book on there and it didn't work. You go, fuck this.
But punching it because I disagreed with some words I'd read. Anyway, so this is, it's not his fault, obviously. It's the same as claiming someone spiked your drink as a bloke. You know, someone stole my wallet, and that is quite rare. I mean, you see someone having a Ralph in the morning after a massive night saying, oh, there's something wrong with that kebab, when in reality the kebab saved their fucking life. It's like, oh, there's something dodgy kebab. Don't think so, mate. It was the 40 beers.
Yeah.
So Leroy had another problem. On top of losing his stuff, he said there were some gang members on the plane attacking him. So there you go. Unisom started to do its job finally.
That's what the Irish call anxiety.
Yeah.
The buddy, the fucking brain gang's after me, mate.
Oh, yeah. My brain's trying to bash me.
Can't admit mental illness.
Yeah. The professional flight attendant said, look, let's get to the bottom of this, you fucking loser. We'll escort you back to your seat and everything will be fine. So he repaid their kindness by shoving one of them into the other one. Then he jumped over seat 6B, stomping the passenger in 6C in the process. Then he attempted to storm the cockpit. 18 years too late, buddy. That was a pre-Y2K thing to do.
Never forget. Man, they're not. And has he still got the blanket over his head like a fucking budgie?
Nice.
Nothing works, so he treated himself like a budgie. I'll just cover the cage.
You're going to sort of do in Irish jails? The cellmates are belting fuck out of each other. They just throw a blanket over the cell. They forget all about everything, go to sleep.
It's not even a cell. It's just an open room in Dublin and everyone's got blankets on their head.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know any different.
After this, the pilot was forced to initiate internal security protocol, which I assume involves getting on the phone and saying, get that fuckhead away from the door. He's about to break a fist. They got him away from the door and put service carts on either side of the front galley so he couldn't get near the cockpit. And then the US air marshals got involved.
The service carts have booze in them.
Oh, you can wedge them sideways so you can't get the boots.
Oh, so you can't get the boots. Oh, all right. I was going to say, that's not a great plan. I think that's just going to help him get past, I reckon.
I think, I wouldn't be surprised if they're designed to fit exactly there now, like service card exactly across ways, take everything off the top.
I always wonder, too,
get a couple of cheese and crackers.
On those long-haul flights, you know, the flight attendants sleep in there's like a little
bunk,
sort of dorm bunk situation up at a certain, part of the plane. I wonder if any of them have knuckle dusters or nunchucks or something, and the call comes in, go, quick, get your weapons.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's just exactly the sort of thing that you get taken off someone and used against them.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of flight attendants, and I don't know that many of them would have knuckle dusters. That's a fucking big move. Maybe less knuckle dusters than fucking guns walking around the streets.
I've seen an amount of jewelry on a flight attendant's hand that you go, that could be knuckle dusters. You've got a lot of rings there. Mm.
Well, they're clearly just shifting some fucking dodgy jewelry from Africa to America or something. I've wondered about that too. You just get on somewhere, you know, looking like Mr. T. You know, what of it? There's $1 million of gold around my neck. Fuck off. I'm not claiming it. Anyway, so they got him away. He started swearing at them, which the Irish call talking, and he's hurled his ID at the passenger in seat 11C for some reason. So I assume that was residing outside his wallet, which he'd lost or had been stolen from him. He just had his license somewhere else. Spread your belongings around your person. So the two marshals, they've overpowered him and chunked him in the seat between them, handcuffed Leroy to themselves and sat there with him until Sydney, where he got dobbed on, obviously.
Double marshal on a flight. Four.
Yeah, well, it's America. It's American flight.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Since he, well, it was DA, so Delta. I forgot to read out the flight number, beg your pardon. DL41, LA City.
I know what to look out for now, and that's two blokes with a middle seat in between them and neither of them drinking. Hold on.
Yeah, and they're very serious about their jobs, and they look straight ahead.
Nothing on the screen.
Their hands might not be up at the forehead, but they're ready to do this salute. Look at their hands. They'll be in the three-finger format. So the fallout from this, right, since Leroy had taken four times the recommended dose of sleeping pills, honestly, I think the pharmacist should be to blame here. The pills are too easy to pop out of the blister pack. Surely it's not the fault of the poor victim putting them down his fucking throat against the medical advice. They need to design boxes of pills that only dispense one per day, at least that way.
Like a time release. Yeah. Mm,
like a cat food thing. These fucksticks have to plan well ahead for their stupidity. And that's something they don't generally do. Leroy, he's ended up in Sydney's Downing Centre for behaving in an offensive and disorderly manner on an aircraft, assaulting and threatening with violence.
You know,
and
as a
intimidating
kid,
airline stuff.
That's only one of a few places I've heard about in Sydney, because I didn't go to Sydney until I was maybe 19 or 20, but I saw it on the news. I just knew that and Crow's Nest, where you send your videos for Australia's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I just knew Crow's Nest and the Downing Centre.
Downing Centre. Do you say to your parents, hey, Mum and Dad, can we go to the Downing Centre? One day, son, you'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Is that a tour? Is that like a double-decker bus tour? Can we see the Downing Centre and Crow's Nest?
Potentially these offences can carry a 10K fine and 2 years in the big house. But did you know this, right? I was looking at this. Peter Dutton, classic Queensland ex-cop and now immigration minister for the overseas listeners, just another top quality Australian politician, young liberal, failed federal candidate, cop, rolled a Mazda 626 in a car chase one time. Peter Dutton, as part of his cop capabilities. So some say that's what got him out of the cops. Shit driver. Politician, though, now in charge of important stuff. Nearly made Prime Minister.
Hold on. He was a criminal or Queensland had cop cars that were Mazda 626s?
Well, undercover cop car was whatever you get your hands on. Whatever's in the lot. They just recycle the stolen ones, I think. Peter can deport people who've been in Australia for any amount of time. If you go to the pen, when you get out, Dutto wants you gone. If you're a permanent resident instead of a citizen, see you later.
Yeah, he sent back people to New Zealand and I think I saw maybe someone in the UK. It was like 50-odd. He'd been here since he was four. It's like, you're going back.
This bloke. It's
back to where you came from.
Well, it was an Irish bloke, go figure. Went to jail for 2 years, right? And he'd lived here for over 40 years, got out of the clink after 2 years, and Dutto said, see you, mate, go back to where you fucking came from. Harsh but fair. Firmness with courtesy being the motto emblazoned on the Queensland filth's epaulettes. So having said that, though, this is the bikie
you think that'd be a
gang member.
You think that'd be, yeah, but just send them first. Don't make
before
Mr. and Mrs. T-Payer pay for fucking the 3 squares a day and a comfortable bed and then send
them straight to straight to Ireland where they don't even have to do proof. They get back and say, what'd you do? Don't worry about it. It's nothing. Mid-40s, this bloke, though, never lived in Ireland. So he got done for dealing meth. His, I looked him up. His Facebook quote is, "This putrid system is destroying families' lives." Gather he hasn't looked too far into the effects of meth, this guy.
Maybe that's the system he's talking about. His business plan.
Dutto got rid of him. He was only 46 years old. Poor little fella. He'll have to find a new criminal gang in Ireland. Shouldn't be too hard. Leroy, though.
Does sound like a good, like an HBO series, how that would start. Deported from Australia for dealing meth, flying to Dublin, can't help himself, fights just outside of Dublin. They land in Shannon, begins anew.
I'd love to find someone who's just started a new life in Shannon, just on that chance. It's so good. Leroy had a lawyer, David Newham, and this made most of my fucking day disappear. I wish I'd never started on it. But David Newham was a police prosecutor, put himself through law school, then at age 30 began on a quest to realise his childhood dream of being a Hollywood actor. So he did it. It was quite hard to find out because it's a fairly common name, David Newham, but it is him. I got there in the end thanks to starnow.com.au.
You're back. Between that and Murderpedia, you're done.
Oh, that's for, you could spend your life, on life.
Yeah.
He let it slip on StarNow that his email address was newhamlaw.com. So I thought, got him. According to StarNow, the 6 internet feet and 2 internet inch tall David Newham clocks in at 100 kilograms even. What are the odds of that? And it's available now for upcoming productions still. So,
man, you know what that means? He's 5'7", 112.
Yeah. No one's 100 even. It's never happened. Doesn't work.
On the dot.
Yeah. He was in a few films. He got picked up for a feature role right out of the paid course he's in the middle of completing when he was 34. He acted as Victor in horror thriller Isolated in 2006, and then in Pandemic 2007. Both could have been shot yesterday. Quite pertinent topics, aren't they?
Got a bit of the Pandemic trailer here.
A pandemic is like a forest fire. We need to get a ring around it to slow it down.
You can't defend turning LA into a hot zone.
Just got a call from the coroner. He's running out of space for the bodies.
Yes. He doesn't feature in the trailer, but it's an Eric Roberts classic set in an imaginary world where disease specialist doctors look like Tiffany Amber Thiessen. So quite prophetic.
By the way, I don't know if that character that I saw in there, I believe he played a dodgy cop. I think that was him in
That's Eric Roberts.
Night. Was it? No.
Maybe. Yeah, it's Julia Roberts' brother.
A pandemic is like a forest fire. We need to get a ring around it to slow it down.
You can't defend her.
That bloke.
Yeah, it's Eric Roberts. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, he's in Batman, Dark Knight.
He's been in a lot of films, yeah.
He's got
Captain
great,
the B team.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got the great combo of grey shirt, silver tie.
Yeah.
Don't trust me. He must be a baddie in this. I assume he's a baddie. Goody wears that.
Wow. Looks like they've raided the groomsman wardrobe on whatever Hollywood lot this is made on. Classic silver satin tie with a slightly off colour shirt, preferably lavender. I was searching for background on Leroy himself and was coming up empty a bit when I saw that an actual Leroy Highland from Ireland had a bit part in an Irish criminal film. So, you know, Irish film called Between the Canals from 2012, making Leroy about 17 at the time. Quite plausible that he was a Dublin up-and-coming shitbag then. Also, on top of this, a bloke called Dan Highland had the lead role. So possibly Leroy is related. They do look after their brothers.
I do love this bloke just doing the reverse method acting, like acting as a scumbag in a movie and then 10 years later doing it in real life.
Yeah.
This trailer, the opening of this movie, fucking great. Normally, I don't want to play a clip this long, but...
Oh. Hello, is this the pigs, is it?
Yes, this is the Garda.
Yeah, hell, I need a car down here quick, mate.
What's the emergency, sir?
They're after shooting a baby in the head down here.
A baby?
Yeah, the fucking baby. They're after shooting it down here.
What's your address there?
Liberty House, bottom of the flats.
Still alive, sir.
What the fuck do you mean? Is he still alive? He's lying down on the ground there with blood poured out everything, and holding his baby's skull. So when you get a car down here, quick, smart, before they blast me out with two.
The cops rock up.
Yeah.
Outside these council flats, and they see that the baby is not a baby. That's been shot in a bleeding head, but in fact, it's a doll. And our mate has a little gift for them.
Here we
Happy
go.
Happy fucking Paddy's Day, you pig, but I fucking cook you.
There we go.
And that sound is on the toy forever. That's locked in. That is after one play, this is in there forever.
Happy fucking Paddy's Day, you pig, but I fucking cook you.
That's a washing machine he threw off the edge there.
And just in case there are listeners like my wife who for some reason has gotten to her age and just never heard just drunk Paddies yelling. I just grew up with a lot of them. He said, Happy St. Paddy's Day, you fucking pigs. Get that up here. You.
Yes.
Happy fucking Paddy's Day, you pig, but I fucking cunt you.
Oh, sorry. You pig motherfucking cunt. You.
I mean, the film pretty much progresses from there. It's just a Dublin documentary in the end. I had to squeeze through I flicked through.
Have you seen that one, the fighting about the traveller families that punch on?
No.
Oh, I think it's from the late 90s or early 2000s, and it's these traveller families that just box in. They just punch on country roads, but they don't have the UFC Conor McGregor-style press conference to talk shit. So they've got like an old camcorder that they'll record themselves talking shit in their caravan.
Yeah.
I'm coming to get you fucking dog. And then they send the VHS off and then the family receives it in the mail, puts it in their thing, goes, get me the camcorder.
Yeah. Sick.
I've got a response. And how good that it's gone from that, right? It's gone from that level of shitty trash talk, having to send it to each other. Back and forth, and now look how far we've
all
come.
All the way to Vegas.
No, it's showing the boss's birthday.
I'm not underestimating.
Here's a gargle for your day and a proper.
Great blokes, all of them. I flicked through this film, right, until I came across a bunch of teenagers, and there's a character called Leroy Fagan, played by Leroy Hyland. So it could be him. Hard to know. I did a manual facial comparison, but it's difficult to tell with an Irish boy to Irish man. They could easily turn into something completely different within half a decade. You dunno.
Yeah. Again, a pint glass across the noggin. Yeah, can change things.
Oh, only one of them can alter you forever. And Australian sun. Facial recognition won't get you.
He's been in the Australian sun for a bit. Ooh.
Yes. They're not built for it. Neither are we. luckily, Leroy has had none other than ex-Hollywood actor in his corner, though, David Newham. He's no Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he'll still know what to do in a crisis. This guy, and he did. David has told the court, Downing Center Court, that Leroy was full of regret and had done some soul searching. I assume he did the latter while staring out to sea in any of the famed clifftop walk locations right near his house. I would think with soft emotional piano music accompaniment, like you hear on A Current Affair when a lonely widow has been fleeced by one of Nigeria's online princes. Makes you think, doesn't it? Same sort of shit. That's soul searching, everyone. Do it. Do it to get yourself out of trouble.
Soul searching again, just over a few pints with his mates going, you better have a good fucking excuse.
Yeah. He says, that's a judge's.
Don't need one. I got on Star now. I got myself a lawyer.
Yeah, that's a. Imagine looking for work for yourself and a lawyer in the same internet search. Pretty good. That's like a judge's ruffle of the hair, mate. Go off and do some soul searching, will you? Soul searching did the job because two community corrections orders of 5 years total, 550 hours of community service, and $4,000 in fines. 550 hours, that's a fair bit in community service, but better than the clink for your record. I assume he avoided doing hard time because of all the soul searching. God bless everybody. Stay safe.
Take care of yourselves. A couple of months of scrubbing your graffiti off.
Yes.
Shit. all the heggy tags with a tip rat drawn at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Thanks for listening and thanks for all your support. If you want to get bonus episodes, get on patreon.com/midflightbrawl. Keeps the lights on, helps us get this gear. And if you're seeing in the video on Patreon, you'll see Heggy is indeed in the actual home office of one Lance Armstrong. So
I'm in Lance's trophy room at the moment. If anyone wants to take a look at my 7 tour jerseys behind me there, can't take them off me.
Thanks again for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.
See you, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.